Well, some of you may know, and some of you may not know, that Thursday was opening day of bow season in Virginia. Now, I've not really had opportunity in my life to do much with the bow, but since they have allowed crossbow to be a part of bow season, I was able to get a crossbow some time ago, and I thought, man, this is my chance. So I went out yesterday, and it was wet enough and quiet enough in the woods, so I decided to, I didn't really have my scent-free stuff on or anything like that, so I knew I'd have to be downwind or I'd be in trouble with any chance of seeing deer. So I kind of stalked through the woods, and I went down, so I'd be coming back up downwind of the wind. And, you know, I didn't see a thing until I finally walked across my field, and I walked along the fence line, and there's a hedgerow. And I went through the hedgerow, and so now on the other side of the hedgerow are planted, about 20 feet apart, pine trees, rows of pine trees. And so I'm walking through there and just real quiet, just wondering if I might see anything. And I get finally to the second hedgerow, and I'm looking this way, and I realize that there's two doe and a nice buck looking right at me, going, what is that blob that just came through? Well, I was wearing somewhat like a ghillie suit, so I looked like part of the tree had just come off as I'm coming through there. And I'm looking at them, and I'm going, wow. And that buck was broadside to me. I said, man, it was like silver platter. And it's like, wow. And so I bring my crossbow up, and I start looking through my scope and realize it is dark through that scope. I couldn't see anything. And so I thought, I had this kind of this netting over my face, so I pulled the netting up and kind of put it up there. It's still dark. I realized all that mist, and I'd been walking through the woods. Anybody relate to this? My scope was just fogged up beyond fogged. So I thought, well, I need to somehow wipe this off. Well, everything I'm wearing is soaked. So I'm sitting here, I'm wiping it with my finger and on both sides and still nothing. And they're standing there looking at me like, what's this dummy doing? What's he doing? And I'm fumbling, and I get it down like this. And I finally go, well, my T-shirt's clean. And I'm pulling my thing up, trying to pull my T-shirt out and wiping like this. And okay, it's clear now. And you know what the buck and those doe did? And I finally had it clear, and I could see right on down that thing, but there was nothing there by that time. It was gone, you know, and they walked away. I lost complete focus because I allowed my scope to get all fogged up and dirty. I didn't pay attention to that, and I didn't bring anything in with me to be able to clean that up and to make it look down and see what I was looking at, even when I was looking straight at something. You know, I think we get like that sometimes in our life, don't we? We get all fogged up. We get all fogged up. We allow things to take us away from our focus, or what it should be, anyway. Carol Mann wrote in Reader's Digest about Arnold Palmer, the golfer. Most of you probably have heard that name. Wrote about his recollection of a lesson he lost about losing focus. It was 1961. He was on the final hole of the Masters tournament. He was a stroke ahead of everybody, and he should win. And as he's walking up to that stroke, to that last, the last hole here, and he's coming up there, someone in the crowd was one of his friends was in the crowd and said, "Arnold." And so Arnold walked over to him, and the guy said, stuck out his hand, said, "Man, congratulations, congratulations." And Arnold's like, "Yeah, man." And he got over there, and he knew the moment he went over there and accepted that handshake, he realized he had lost focus on what he was there to do. He lost focus. And guess what? Two sand traps later, one putt past the green, he lost the Masters. And he said, I learned a big lesson that day. He said, it's a lesson I learned on focus that I will, and I determined to remember that and never lose my focus again. And he didn't for 30 years. He kept his focus. For me, it took a foggy scope to realize what I needed for focus. For Arnold Palmer, it took losing that Masters tournament to determine to change things about that, to determine to focus straight ahead. For Arnold, for the rest of his career, for me, whenever I go hunting again. But as we consider what the summary of our life will be, we too must begin to focus straight ahead on our goal. And then never let anything come in its way to cause us to falter in the achievement of an eternal life summary. We need to focus straight ahead. Let's pray. Holy God, as we head into your word, I pray that you will speak to us as individuals as we need to hear it. May your Holy Spirit be with us, be in us, and speak to us what we need to hear from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. I'm just going to read the first two verses. We've been reading these the past 2 weeks. This will be the third and final week. 2 Kings 22, verses 1 and 2. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king and reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedah, the daughter of Adiah. She was from Bozkath. He did what was right in the Lord's sight and walked in all the ways of his ancestor David. He did not turn to the right or to the left. It is here in verse 2, once again, that we see the summary of this child king at the end of his 39 years of life and 31 years of reigning over Israel. He did right in the Lord's sight. He followed in the ways of David. But then listen to this. He didn't turn to the right or to the left. What does it mean when it says that he didn't turn to the right or to the left? Well, the obvious thing is that if you're walking, you're not turning right or left, you're just walking straight on. Well, that's right. But obviously, this is speaking more spiritually in Josiah's life, and it manifested itself, it became alive in his life, in what he did. Now, I want to highly encourage you to continue reading in 2 Kings chapter 22. Find out what Josiah did. Find out why this was the summary of his life. What he did was not easy. It was very hard. But what he did summarized his life in such a way that we should mimic the same kind of summary for ours. We discussed the past couple weeks that to be right is to do right in the sight of the Lord. We discussed that we should walk the walk of godly people who have gone before us, like Josiah did with David. And today we're going to talk about focusing straight ahead. Josiah would have understood, when it talks about him not turning to the right or left, would have understood that His devotion to God, that we talked about last week, his integrity, and his humbleness before Almighty God would have come somewhat from what he would have read in, what he would have read in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 25 and 27. It says there, "Let your eyes look forward. Fix your gaze straight ahead. Carefully consider the path for your feet, and all your ways will be established. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your feet away from evil." Following in the footsteps of David, he would have known what David wrote in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. "How happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path of sinners, or join a group of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted beside streams of water, that bears its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." He would have known the pitfalls that his ancestor David stepped into, and he would have known to avoid those pitfalls because he looked at David's life. He followed in the ways of David, not in the ways of David's mistakes, but in the ways of that David followed the Lord. For us, that should speak volumes. Some love to say that experience is the best teacher. Well, folks, that's a lie. That is not from God. That's a lie from our enemy, that experience is the best teacher. Oh, sometimes it teaches and we really get the lesson because we went ahead and experienced it. Like, I know we have Hams Ford. I don't drive through there when it's high water anymore. I've already ruined one vehicle. I'm not going to ruin another. I learned from experience. But wouldn't it have been so much better if I had learned from the two other people that I had seen with their drowned vehicles in that river during high water? So is experience the best teacher? Mm-mm. Experience sometimes is the final teacher, when we weren't wise enough to learn from other people's experience. Well, Josiah was wise enough to learn from other people's experience, like David. And that's why he didn't turn to the right or to the left. That's why the summary of his life is that he stayed straight in focus towards Christ. The prophet Isaiah tells us this. Because you know what? Anybody in here not human? We're all human. And guess what? We're all sinful. And we all have the ability to slip and fall, even in as people truly following God. Isaiah knew that. When he wrote in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, he said, "Whenever you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear this command behind you. This is the way. Walk in it." God is faithful, folks. Now, it may not be a command that is yelled. Remember the prophet Elijah looking for God? He went to the mountain. There was a terrible windstorm. Remember that? There was an earthquake. There was thundering. None of it was God. And then there was a slight breeze, a whisper. And when he had quieted himself, he heard God. And in many ways, if you study that, it could be summarized. What God told Elijah at that time is, "This is the way, walk in it." Isaiah reiterates what we saw in his life, what we see in Josiah's life, or even King David's life. Folks, we see in our own life, as we, like we discussed last week, are devoted to God, as we build an integrity before God in our private and public lives, as we build a life of humility before God, then we will hear God when we turn to the right or the left. Because, folks, we may veer, but we don't have to go there. And God says, "Whoa, whoa, that way." that way. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So what we're being told through the life of Josiah is that we are to keep from evil, and that we are to stay straight. And when we don't, God will put us back on the path if we let Him. We have to humble ourselves to Him and allow Him. God wants the best for our lives, folks. So many I've talked with through the years that didn't want to follow God because they loved their ways. Well, it wasn't it God that told Isaiah, "I am God, you are not, my ways are not your ways"? But God's ways are best. God's way is best. He knows that when we are focused on Him, His best will be revealed in and through our lives. We're not to focus on not doing evil. That's not the point, the first point. The first point is to, let's get going straight. But now, what is our focus? Our focus is doing what God desires. It's not about the fact that we focus on the things we take out of our lives that don't please God, but focusing on the things that we add to our lives to please God by doing His will. Listen to what God said in Deuteronomy to the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 32 to 33. "Be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You are not to turn aside to the right or the left. Follow the whole instruction the Lord your God has commanded you." Why? "So that you may live, prosper, and have a long life in the land you will possess." God wants the best for our lives. The result of doing God's will, the result of staying focused straight ahead towards God and His will and pleasing Him, is yes, we'll keep ourselves from evil. Now these are things, folks, the evil things can be things that we feel like we enjoy. But we know the result of it. We know the end of those things. They don't bring joy in the end, they bring misery. But staying focused, staying straight ahead toward God, that brings peace. It brings peace even when everything around us is in turmoil. We can have peace. I remember some time back, my wife getting kind of mad at me. That wasn't for anything I did wrong. It was just that when I lay down at night to sleep, about a minute or two, I'm out. And sometimes she'll lay down at night to sleep, and about a minute or two, nope, she's still going. Another minute or two, nope. Half an hour goes by, nope. And she's looking over at me, and I'm sleeping, I'd like to say like a baby, only if a baby snores real loud, but I'm over there just sleeping away. And she's told me she would get mad because she couldn't get to sleep like that. Well, you know, that's a whole other story of why that is, but we're made differently. But it had nothing to do with our peace inside. My wife loves the Lord and serves God, has tremendous peace. She just has a hard time getting sleep than I do. But the world would look at us in these times of turmoil. And folks, the testimony that we can have to others around us is when everything's falling apart and we still have peace, they're going to look over at us and go, "What? Why aren't you all running around like a chicken with your head cut off?" Because I have peace in God. That is offered to all of us. Hold on, with condition. Be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded. Don't turn aside to the right or to the left. Listen to what Joshua said in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. "Above all, Be strong and very courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. Folks, this is not a health, hey, listen, serve God and you'll have perfect health and you'll get all kinds of money. No, this isn't that. We are talking, you will have spiritual success in your life. No, it may come that you have physical health. It may even be that you gain finances that you need and beyond. Well, that's fine, but that's not the point. It wasn't even the point for Joshua. Success for him, he was stepping in leadership of all of Israel after Moses. Moses, the greatest leader Israel ever had. Even today, Jews tout Moses. And Joshua was stepping into that same role. And this was a promise given to him. Be strong. Be courageous. Carefully observe the whole instruction that Moses gave you. Moses gave him instruction straight from God. And don't turn to the right or to the left. You'll have success. Folks, for us, if we take for the we say, okay, our focus, I want to build a summary for my life. Doesn't matter how old you are, start now. And by the way, I am talking to Christians, people who have already accepted Jesus as the commander or Lord of their life and trust in Him alone for their eternal life. This is for Christians. We are to be focused straight ahead, building this summary of our life that will truly have eternal dividends. So the lesson so far is that we are to definitely stay away from evil. We're to focus on pleasing God, remembering that He wants our well-being. The Apostle Paul understood this. He was a man who in the first part of his life, he was even thinking he was serving God. In the first part of his life, he was nothing but infamous. Infamous. As he tortured, imprisoned, and even murdered Christians. And then he met the one he was persecuting. He met Jesus, the Messiah, on the road to Damascus, and his life was completely transformed. And in fact, his name was, he was Saul in the first part of his life, and then he was Paul. And Paul then built a famous life spiritually, one that truly will last for eternity. He built a life that might even be termed spiritually heroic. And this is what he said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 to 14. He said, "Brothers, I don't consider myself to have taken hold of the gospel in its entirety. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus." Think of that. He forgot. He actively forgot what was behind him. Folks, sometimes that's a daily thing for us. And we say, okay, Lord, I turned to the right or the left yesterday, but not today. I'm focusing here. I'm going to forget that. I'm going here. The following was written in Guidepost Magazine. It said this: "When I was a boy, my father, a baker, introduced me to the wonderful wonders of song," said tenor Luciano Pavarotti. "He urged me to work very hard to develop my voice. Arrigo Pola, a professional tenor in my hometown of Medina, Italy, took me as a pupil. I also enrolled in a teacher's college. On graduating, I asked my father, 'Shall I be a teacher or a singer?' 'Luciana,' my father replied, 'if you try to sit on two chairs, you will fall between them. For life, you must choose one chair.' I chose one. It took 7 years of study In frustration, before I made my first professional appearance, it took another 7 to reach the Metropolitan Opera, and now I think, whether it's laying bricks, writing a book, whatever we choose, we should give ourselves to it. Commit. That's the key. Choose one chair. Jesus said something like that, didn't he? He said, a man cannot serve 2 masters, for either he will love the one or hate the other. He will serve one and not do well by the other. You cannot serve what will bring you money and what will bring you spiritual life. You can't. So, Paul's proverbial chair was that one thing, Jesus Christ. He talks about his heavenly call, his eternity. Paul was determined to, in his one chair, to build the summary of his life to be all about Jesus, to where he said, as I've said in recent sermons, for me to live is Christ, Paul said, but to die is gain. So, we stay away from evil. That should be a given. But not to take things out of our life and not replace it. We should focus straightforward on the things that please God, things that He desires for us to be involved with. We then put aside our past. Sometimes that might be a daily thing. We put aside our past. Because, folks, when it talks about evil, it's not necessarily meaning some gross evil, but each of us knows the thing that draws us away from God in our own lives. It might be different for each one of us, but there is something that draws us from God. We know what it is for our lives. That's evil. And we need to put it aside daily. Put it aside. It gets easier and easier and easier as you put things aside. And then you add something to your life. You don't just put it aside and then go leave a void. No, you add pleasing God to your life. By doing this, you find yourself more devoted to Christ, building a greater integrity, finding yourself more humble before the Lord. And folks, I want you to know, God never intended for us to do it alone. Now the pat answer is, of course not. We have the Holy Spirit, and we're doing it in Christ, and He is our power and strength. Well, all of that is absolutely true, but He also gave us a body, a church body. He gave us brothers and sisters in Christ to go through life and to struggle with, to struggle beside, to have them struggle beside us as we struggle with them. It's called accountability. It's called accountability. And folks, if we're going to stay focused, we're going to stay focused straight ahead on Christ, we need to hold each other accountable. Now the thing is that we can choose whether we hold each other accountable here or not. But guess what? There is an accountability that if we know Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, there is an accountability that is going to be there whether we choose for it or not. The first one, choosing others. This is a command from God. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The urgent request then of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. In other words, the urgent prayer of someone who is righteous is very powerful. So, guess what? We should have accountability partners. Ones that we esteem as knowing God and who will pray for us, not hold us in judgment, but that will hear the struggles we have and that they will pray with us, that they will actually say, hey, listen, how's it going? Are you staying straight on the course? Sometimes God's voice saying, hey, this is the way, is another person in Christ. And God uses them in our lives. But we should invite that as Christians. If we truly want to build a summary of our life that is eternal, one that honors God, then we should invite accountability to our life and let people in. Oh, that's sometimes a tough thing, isn't it? Well, whether we do or not, there's still another accountability that we may not have thought of. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we find out what that is. Since we also have, listen to this, therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. Keep our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured a cross and despised the shame and has sat down at the right hand of God's throne. Jesus stayed focused, didn't he? He focused straight ahead. He didn't want to have to suffer the cross, and he knew all that it would be. Yet he said, "Not my will, God, but yours be done." And so therefore, for the joy of the end result, he faced that tragedy and that terribleness in his life, spiritually and physically. But this verse also tells us that we're surrounded, spiritually surrounded by witnesses. Witnesses. Theologians believe that to be persons who have already passed from this life and are with Jesus, and they're checking up on us. How are we doing in our relationship with Christ? Well, folks, we don't have to go around with some kind of ghostly thought. Who's watching me? That's not what it's meaning. What it's saying is stay strong in the Lord, because guess what? There are others who have gone before that are watching your life as you focus on Christ. And they are gaining joy in heaven by watching our focus on Christ as we go straight ahead towards him. When in heaven, we won't stand before their accountability, folks. We'll stand before the judge, Jesus, and he'll know all. So we don't have to worry about what others may or may not know. But we do need to understand that there are others, spiritually speaking, that are watching us. And we also need to invite others into our lives. Yes, certain trusted ones, even into the deepest, maybe the ugliest parts of our lives, to hold us in prayer, but also to hold us accountable. So the concentration of a person concerned with the summary of their life is a life that moves straight ahead to Jesus, ignoring what is evil, pressing towards Christ, towards heaven bound, consciously, daily. And it doesn't matter if you're a teenager or if you're in your 90s. Doesn't matter. You are to have this as your focus, so that the summary of your life is like Josiah's, where you followed Christ, you followed in the walk of someone godly, you didn't turn to the right or the left. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. So if you have been raised with the Messiah, in other words, you have eternal life, you know that you are a Christian, seek what is above, where the Messiah is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on what is above, not on what is on earth. I'd like to end with a story. I don't know about you all, but growing up, I always loved stories of the Red Baron. Now, too long, too far, and too low, those were the words most likely running through Manfred von Richthofen, the Red Baron. The day was April 21, 1918. Richthofen led his flight of triplanes to search for British observation aircraft. An engagement ensued between a flight of the Canadian Royal Air Force led by Captain Arthur Roy Brown. Brown's friend, Lieutenant Wilford May, was a rookie on his first offensive patrol. May had been ordered to keep out of combat, but couldn't resist, resulting in his guns being jammed. May, now defenseless, headed away from the battle. The Red Baron spotted the lone plane and chose it for kill number 81. Captain Brown observed the scene below him and dove to help his fellow airmen, knowing that May was no match for the Baron. As Brown was closing from behind, the Red Baron, usually a meticulous and disciplined fighter pilot, made a mistake and broke one of his own rules by following May too long, too far, and too low into enemy territory. 2 miles behind the Allied lines, as Brown caught up with the Baron and fired, the chase passed over the machine gun nests of Australian field artillery. The debate continues over who fired the fatal shot that passed through the Baron's torso. Ultimately, it doesn't matter. Whether hit from the air or the ground, the Red Baron was mortally wounded. Richtofen broke one of his own rules. Maybe in his mind he was just stretching the rule a bit, or he was distracted by something that appeared too good to be true. Whatever the case, he compromised his own standards, which led to his demise. For the Red Baron, the temptation of number 81 was too much and caused him to lose focus. The temptation always exists for us to focus, even if it's good, but yet for us, focusing on the wrong things. To forget where we are and to stretch or compromise God's straight way. It's easy to be distracted, and there are always new gimmicks that will try to lure us away from our first love. And our enemy, Satan, is out there like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We are a target of the enemy. Folks, if we are true believers in Jesus Christ, we are a target of the enemy. But we must not lose our primary focus. Let's determine to keep the main thing, and fix our thoughts on Jesus. The most important thing for us as we build the summary of our life is to be right by doing right in the sight of the Lord. To walk the walk of those godly people who have gone before us. And by focusing straight ahead on Jesus and our eternity. The challenge for us as this week goes on is for each of us in prayer before the Lord to think, what are the things that I'm focused on? In my days, what do I focus on? In my moments, what am I focused on? And then go before the Lord. They may be good things, folks, but they may not actually be the right things for you, for me. And to say to God, these are things I'm focused on. Is that where you want me? Or are they causing me to turn to the right or to the left of following you? And if we find things that we should be focused on, and God says, yes, you're focusing on the right thing, then let's pour ourselves to that individually. But if we find things as we pray and as we meditate on what God is saying to us that are not of God for our lives, let's be willing to get rid of it. Do what we need to do to close it down and get rid of it. With that, we will find the summary of our life being built properly. And we will find our lives here and now a life of peace, a life filled with God's comfort, a life that allows God to share well-being with us and His best. Let's pray. Holy God, I thank you so much for your word. It's powerful. And I know that it is your will and your desire that we build an eternal summary of our life. And the only way we can do that is truly to be right by doing right in your sight, by walking in the ways of those who have left examples for us of godly lives, and by not turning one way or the other, but staying focused straight ahead. We have the opportunity now, Lord, to celebrate the gift that you gave us through your Son, the last and final sacrifice that ever needs to be made. Jesus, your substitutionary death on the cross. We celebrate it because it is our gate, our ticket to being right with Almighty God. And so we do this truly to remember what you did and why you did it. In Jesus' name, amen.